You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441 1 Mile North of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. This weekend, we continue with our series called Relationships That Define Us. In our culture today, we see a trend happening with children that are experience rich and relationally poor. Today, Lead Pastor John Hampton, along with Next Gen Pastor Ryan Tucker, will be unpacking some great principles to help us all with our relationship with our children. Our scripture text comes from Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Today's message is entitled, Relationships That Define Us, Children.
Today, star of stage and screen, Pastor Ryan Tucker, is with us today.
Hey, Journey.
Yeah, Ryan, I told him, I said, he's baptizing kids in the Promise video and telling about all the different married people and gadgets and gizmos, and got you in person here today.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to do something around here, right? So I guess if it's me, then
all right,
I guess
just sit there and be quiet, okay. And I'll call on you. All right. Now, Ryan is our next-gen pastor here at Journey, and I'm glad he can join us today. Yeah. Because we want to talk about something really important, and that is nothing so determines a child's view of life, their odds of success, their ability to establish and maintain healthy relationships. Nothing has a greater influence on a child than their relationship with their parents. That's a foundational principle, by the way, on which our next-gen ministry philosophy is built. Conversely, here's what I've learned. Nothing affects the emotional well-being, the sense of satisfaction in life, and the level of happiness in a parent than a parent's relationship with their grown children. Your child's relationship with you, regardless of where you may be in the parenting journey, will do more to set them up for success or failure than anything else that will come into their life. And the developing of your relationship with your children, parents, will do more to set you up for happiness and fulfillment than anything else in your life. Because as adults, here's what we know about ourselves. There are three things that have had a profound impact on us: our relationships, the choices we've made, and our experiences. You see, the choices we've made and many of the experiences we have had have, for the most part, been influenced by some key relationships in our lives. And those relationships are our relationship with our parents, our relationship or lack of a relationship with God, and our relationship with others. Those are truly the relationships that define us. But we're going to focus on this today, is our relationship with God and our relationship with others has been profoundly affected by our relationship with our parents.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like our parents had three different sets of dials in front of them. A dial that reflected our relationship with them, a dial that reflected our relationship with God, and then a dial that reflected our relationship with others. And as we grew up, our parents would dial us up and dial us down in those specific areas. Think of it this way. Maybe you grew up in a home where your relationship with your parents was great. You would have been dialed up in that area, or maybe your parents were absent. You were dialed down. Maybe you lived up or you grew up in a great Christian home where God was spoke of often. You were dialed up in your relationship with God, or maybe his name was absent and you were dialed down. Maybe you had parents that dialed you up in your relationships with certain friends and family members, or you were dialed down in those same ways. Regardless of the scenario, your parents controlled the dials that determined the degree of influence you experienced in these three vital areas. And you've been shaped by that forever, for better or for worse. And the good news and the bad news for us parents is this: we're the ones with our hands on those dials. That mix that we control for a season has incredible influence on our kids' lives and the choices they will eventually make. And today we're going to talk about just one of those dials, and that's our relationship with our kids. The challenge, though, in talking to a group this size and across two different campuses is that we have parents that are in so many different stages of life. We have moms expecting their first child. We have parents of preschoolers, middle schoolers, high schoolers. We have parents whose children are graduating from college. And some of you would simply say yes to all those areas because you're absolutely crazy and you have like 26 kids. So you have children spread out over all of those different areas. So There's no way that we can tell you how to have a relationship with your child based on these ages and stages. So what we want to do today across the course of this weekend is to motivate you to re-engage or continue to engage in a relationship with your child. And we think there are two extremely important principles that will help you grasp the significance of your role as a parent. Now, no matter what stage of life your children are in, we can probably all agree that culture plays a huge part in the development of our kids. And most of us would agree as well that the trend of our culture today is to have kids who are experience rich and relationally poor. The trend of our culture today is to have kids who are experience rich and relationally poor. What do we mean by experience rich? Well, we mean that everyone's in a league. Everyone's in some kind of lesson. Everybody's working towards their college resume. Everyone wants to travel. We want our kids to be experience rich, but consequently, because of that, they are often relationship poor, because we're so busy making sure they're having all these experiences, or we're the ones that are working towards actually paying for these experiences, we never have time for simple things in life anymore, like enjoying dinner together as a family. We oftentimes have to cut vacation short. One parent is working their tail off to financially support all these experiences, while the other is so busy playing chauffeur that there's no time for real conversation. At the end of the day, if our kids are experience rich and relationship poor, we will rob them of what will best set them up for success later on in life. So today we want to motivate you to continue to engage or to re-engage with your kids and ask this very important question: what can I do in light of where my kids are to enhance my relationship with them?
That's such an important question, because we talked to several people after the service last night, and I said, man, I wish I would have heard that when I was a younger parent, when my kids were younger. But look at that question again. What can I do in light of where my kids are right now to enhance my relationship with them? So Ryan mentioned two principles. Here's the first one that we're going to unpack this morning. When it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your kids will determine the weight of your influence. Let me say that again. When it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your kids will determine the weight of your influence. How do we know that? You just need to think about your relationship with your parents. Maybe your dad was not involved in your life. Maybe he left your mom when you were young. You never saw him much. Maybe he went off, started two or more other families. Let me ask you this. If all of a sudden he were to reemerge in your life, if he were to out of the blue just call you up and start giving you advice, how seriously would you take that? There would probably be a huge emotional wall there. He would virtually have no influence in your life. Why? Because he has no relationship with you. Now, you may be on the other end of the spectrum. You may be 30 or 40 years old, and your parents continue to have a major influence in your life. Why? Well, maybe you're still living with them. That could be one reason. I don't know. And that's the reality in today's world. But it's more likely because you have a relationship with them. And again, the quality of that relationship will determine the weight of your influence.
Yeah, and here's why that's really important. As parents, we always want to be sitting in the seat of influence, not just through middle school and adolescence, but when our children begin to make the most important decisions of their lives, we want that influence to be there. And what gives us that influence is the health of our relationship with them. You may be saying to yourself, isn't this kind of obvious to everyone? You know, where's the big aha moment here? Well, here's why this is an incredibly important principle that we so easily lose sight of. When our kids first show up in our lives, our influence is not based on our relationship with them. It's based on our power over them. Mm-hmm. Because when our kids are little, we have a size and power advantage. We have a position advantage over our kids. The reason we have influence in the lives of our kids really has nothing to do with the quality of our relationship in the beginning, but it has everything to do with size and position. Think about it. We can pick our kids up and we can put them down wherever we want. We can put them in timeout. We can make them go to bed. We can tell them what they're allowed to eat and where they're allowed to go, all because we're bigger, we're stronger, and we're louder. We have the size and position advantage. But the problem is, and we all know this, this isn't new information, that advantage eventually goes away. And the sooner we grasp that reality, the better. Reggie Joyner puts it this way: when parents realize how much time they have left, they do more with the time they have now. Mm-hmm. This is called the parental influence chart. And basically what this illustrates is the principle we already talked about, that when your children are young, you have a high positional influence on your life. You have the size and advantage over them. as opposed to a very low relational influence when they're little. But as time starts to shift, as they start to move through the phases of development, that positional influence is taking a nosedive while the relational influence is drastically increasing. And somewhere around seventh or eighth grade, those two things are intersecting, and this is what you're gonna hear us refer to as the transition stage. This is where that influence is really shifting. And moms and dads, if we don't get a hold of this, we're gonna lose the influence because we're always gonna be looking at position as opposed to relationship.
Boy, that chart is such a powerful tool. And again, if you go to our Journey app or if you go to the website, all of the notes that Ryan and I are sharing here, you can get this, so you can look at that. But this chart, we should spend a lot more time on that than we have to today. But here's the point. There comes a day when our positional influence will go away, and we all know that. And here's why that's important in our parenting. If we do not learn to shift while we have the advantage of size and position and make the transition to quality of relationship, we will continue to influence from size and position long after our size and position are no longer a factor. And it's huge that we understand that. If you try to continue from a positional perspective, you will eventually erode what is most important, which is your relationship with your children. And the temptation is this: when our kids begin to move beyond the place where positional influence no longer gives us leverage, then if we've not deeply invested in the relationship, we keep pushing the position buttons long after they're effective. Now, you may not say, "Hey, I'm bigger than you," but you will say, "You want the car? You want somebody to pay for college? You want some of the inheritance?" In other words, we say, "I've got some stuff you don't have and you're going to need. And if you want it, you better play by my rules." You see, the temptation is to try to leverage influence by size and position long after that advantage, and we unintentionally erode the relationship. The tragedy is, it is oftentimes when our kids need our influence the most that we have it the least. Why? Because we didn't handle the transition well. Here's a question we need to consider, parents. When do our kids need our influence the most? And here's the answer: when they're making the decisions that are going to matter the most. When they're making the decisions that are going to matter the most. When they're trying to make the decision about who should I date. When they're trying to figure out, you know, how far is too far. When they're trying to choose where they're going to live, where they're going to go to college, who are they going to marry. Parents, that's the time when you want to have influence. And by the time our kids start making those decisions, positional influence is almost completely irrelevant. At that point, it's about the health and depth of the relationship. And if you've not done your homework, and I literally mean homework, we lose what is most important to us as parents in those critical times. We lose influence. Men, I want to talk to you very briefly, just to men, okay? Maybe you grew up in a home where you weren't nurtured, and that happened to a lot of guys. Your dad and your mom continually played the size and position card in your house. And men, we've learned to subconsciously grade ourselves on what kind of experiences that we're giving our kids. And you grade yourself by being a good provider, and everybody's eating and living indoors, and I got a college fund, and don't I do this, and don't I do that. But guys, let me tell you something. The day will come when you will trade all that for influence. And where there's no relationship, there will be no influence. And your temptation will be to keep going back to positional influence. But not only will that not work, but continuing to push those buttons will continue to erode what you want most, which is influence. Do you know what happens when parents begin to sense they're losing influence and there's not a relationship foundation that's been laid to sustain their involvement in their kids' lives? Let me tell you, three things happen. They resort to guilt, they resort to bribery, they resort to manipulation. Some of you who had no relationship with your parents and they suddenly want back in your life and you're not motivated to pursue it. Well, so what do they try to do? They try to guilt you into coming around. "Hey, we never see you anymore. You never call. We haven't seen the grandkids in the last 36 hours. I mean, when are you coming over?" When? Guilt, guilt, guilt. Let me ask you, how does that make you feel? Do you feel endeared to your parents at that moment? Does that motivate you to rush right over there? If it does, your motives aren't, "I want to do what I can for my mom and dad because I really care about them." It's, "What can I do for my parents to get them off my back and so I don't feel guilty?" Or your parents, they use bribery. "Hey, your mom and I got something for you, but you need to come over here and get it. Hey, we got a little something for the kids. Would you mind stopping by and pick it up? Hey, you remember that thing you were always wanting from Grandpa? We're thinking about giving that to you. Won't you come over? Let's talk about it. And if that's how they seek to influence you, your whole perspective on your parents becomes, how do I quit feeling guilty and how do I get what they have? Let me ask you, is that a healthy relationship? No, that's not a healthy relationship. That's how relationships get eroded. But here's the deal. There will come a day in my life and in your life, no matter where you are with your kids, when we're going to want a relationship and we're going to want influence. And if we've not done our homework and if we've not transitioned from the positional influence to relational influence, we will be tempted with maybe what our parents were tempted with to push the guilt button, to pull the bribery lever. But not only do they not work, they continue to alienate us and to erode our relationship.
Yeah, and there's a really good passage in Scripture that we want to talk about today that really hits on this dynamic well. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians, and he's writing about family and relationship dynamics in the home. It's addressed to fathers, but moms, don't think you're off the hook, because it equally applies to you as well. So here's how the verse starts. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Other translations say it this way. Do not provoke your children. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children. What's this all mean? It means that you've abused your position and you've abused your size in order to get what you want from your children. And in doing so, you've exasperated them or you've angered them. Because you're bigger and you always get your way, and even if you're wrong, you never admit it. You always have to be right. And then when you are right, you express your rightness in a way that frustrates your kids. When you leverage your size and position to put your kids in a no-win situation that no matter what they do, you're going to bring the hammer down on them, you exasperate them. As adults, we've all been in these situations too, haven't we? You may live with someone like that. They talk faster, they're quicker, they're smarter, they always have an angle, and at the end of every single conversation, you're so exasperated because you know you're right, but they are just not going to let you win no matter what. Maybe it's somebody you work with, maybe it's somebody you work out with, you go to the gym, maybe it's a close friend, but no matter how good this relationship is, it always seems a little bit off balance, and these people drive you nuts. They frustrate you, this situation angers you, it exasperates you. The Apostle Paul says, parents, if you're not careful and you try to leverage your size and power, you will provoke your children to anger. You'll exasperate them and you'll erode that relationship. They may do what you want them to do for now and you'll win. But sooner or later, when the day of transition comes, like we talked about, when size and power are no longer an issue and it's all about influencing them from the standpoint of relationship, moms and dads, you're going to lose.
I want you to look at the last part of that passage that Pastor Ryan introduced. Paul writes, do not exasperate your children instead. So don't exasperate. What should we do? Here's what he says. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now notice the contrast here. Don't exasperate. Don't provoke. But bring them up. That phrase, that three-word phrase in English, bring them up, is really one Greek word. And it means to nourish, to replenish, to build into. It's used in other parts of the New Testament to demonstrate how God builds up and strengthens and speaks life into the church. And Paul is saying, parents, your parenting style should not be one that focuses on size and position because you're bigger than your dad or you're bigger than your mom, but your parenting style should be that of a nourisher, a nurturer, an encourager, a speak into, a guide, a coach, a help them along. This phrase, to bring them up, it's a very relationally rich word. In this one little phrase, Paul contrasts what so often happens in our homes. He basically says, your best bet for parenting and for preparing your children for the future will always come through relational channels, not I'm bigger, stronger, positional channels. We've got to influence through the health of relationship because that's the only lasting leverage we're going to have. Ultimately and eventually, it will be the health of our relationship that determines the weight of our influence. Paul says, parents, don't be drawn into thinking that as long, now listen, that as long as I can control the outcome of their behavior, that things are fine. Don't grade yourself, parents, on the winning of battles. Grade yourself by the nature and the depth of relationship. I want to talk very quickly to the parents of middle school and high school kids. Raise your hand real quick if you got a middle school, high school age kid, or if you've raised one. Go ahead. That's a lot of you, right? Very good. Now, by the grace of God, Melinda and I have lived through two kids going through middle school and high school, period. And here's what I know as a definite fact about parents of middle school kids. You need help. And probably some strong medication. And possibly both. You know, there were days I didn't think I was going to make it through it. Mark Twain is a famous 20th century American writer. And here's what he said about kids who turn 13. Twain said, when a kid turns 13, you should fasten them up in a barrel and feed them through a hole. And then he said, when the kid turns 16, you should seal up the hole. Now, listen, we're not recommending putting any kids in a barrel. I'm not recommending that. But I will tell you this. There were days when I wanted to get in a barrel. I'd have been good getting in the barrel. Here's what you need to remember. Right now, you're on the front end of that transition period. You still got money. You still got grounding power. You still got car keys. But you can already see things like that have less and less leverage in their life. You can hear that adult train coming. Now is the time to intentionally begin to transition from parenting by positional influence to parenting by relational influence, which is what will give you what you want in the long run. That doesn't, now listen to me, parents, that doesn't mean you don't discipline. That doesn't mean you let them run wild, do whatever they want, wherever they want. That doesn't mean you have to finance their insanity. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. You will have to make some hard decisions from time to time that comes with a parenting territory. But the day of I'm bigger and I'm dad, I'm louder and I'm mom, is coming to an end. And you know it, and they know it. Now, you may say to me, hey, you know, Pastor, that sounds good, but that won't work. And I would say to you, what do you mean it won't work? And you'd say back to me, well, I mean, if I do that, I won't get him to do what I want. And I'd say back to you, that's not the goal anymore. And you would say, what do you mean it's not the goal anymore? Isn't making your kids do what you want them to do the goal of all parenting? And I would say, no, your goal is to bring them up, to nurture them, to nourish them, to encourage them, to build into their lives in such a way that they are independent of you and dependent upon the Lord. Friends, this is not a simple formula. This is not easy stuff. But this is a timeless principle that you dare not ignore lest you pay dearly, because they're on the verge of their most important decisions and you must have influence.
Yeah, it's good. Let me tell you something that I think will change the way you parent if you can get this. Being right is not the same as having influence.
Wait, did you get that?
I'll say it one more time.
Say it again.
Being right is not the same as having influence. Many of you know that from being married. It's true. True statement. Sometimes in relationships between people that are really close, it's not always about the rightness of your position. Often it's about the tone of your disposition. It's not always about getting your way. Lots of husbands and wives know how to get their way in marriage. They know how to win with their spouse. And husbands, if any of you out here have this mastered, you can email me some tips at rtucker@journeychristian.com. I'm still trying to figure this part out. So if
I just want to say he said that, not me.
I'll own it.
I just want to say that.
That's all right.
He said that.
My wife was here last night, so I'm good. Spouses know how to win with each other, but they often end up losing so much more. And you know, this principle applies to teenagers as well. You can be right and you can be irrelevant to them at the exact same time. If being right is the most commonly used tool in your parenting toolbox, your relationship is probably broken. The time that we have as parents when our children are the most receptive is fleeting. And there will be a day when the richness of your relationship will carry more weight with your children than the rightness of your reasoning. That brings us to the second principle, why we need to enhance our relationship with our children, and it's this. This is a big one. If we were in the kids' church, we'd say, put your thinking ears on, okay? This is a big one. Your relationship with your children is what sets them up for future relationships. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with your children is what sets them up for future relationships. Think of it this way. Investing in a relationship with your child is like investing in all of their future relationships. Here's why. The quality of your relationship with your child does more to establish emotional health for them than any other relationship they will ever have. There's no greater factor in a child's emotional health than the relationship with their parents. And here's the irony of this. Nowadays, parents are constantly complaining about their children's relationship outside the home. Well, on the flip side, we as parents have done a poor job modeling what healthy relationships look like inside the home. That's backwards. We can't complain about what's happening out there if we're not giving a good model in here. Mm-hmm. And here's the reality, Mom and Dad. Our children and students don't need better lessons. They need better leaders.
Yeah.
Our kids don't need more people in their lives to tell them what to do. They need more people in their lives to show them what to do. When you invest in a relationship with your children and you model for them what emotionally healthy relationships look like, you are investing in every future relationship that your child will ever have. And here's the thing that we want every parent to hear today, whether your children are young or old. When you invest in your children and you model for them what healthy relationships look like, you aren't just modeling what relationships with other people look like, but you should also be modeling what a healthy, growing relationship with God looks like as well. Parents, listen. The faith of our children oftentimes only goes as far as we, their parents, are willing to take them. I know this can be daunting, and this can be an intimidating reality for a lot of parents. You want to have good conversations with your kids. You want to talk to them about God and their faith, but you just don't know where to start. You don't know what to say. Some of you might be aware of this, and for others, this is going to be new information, but we as a church, we have a strategy for how we minister to and how we disciple and influence children, students, and their families. And that strategy includes equipping you as the parents to be the primary disciple maker of your children and to be the one that leads spiritual conversations in your homes. And one of the ways that we can equip you is by providing resources to help get the conversation started. And there's a brand new app out that I want to tell you about that I think will make this easier than ever. There's a logo on the screen. This is called the Parent Q app. Many of you may have downloaded an old version of the ParentQ app, and it was awful. It was a great idea, but it did not work. It stunk. Well, just recently, in the last 2 weeks, they have released a new version of the ParentQ app, and it is phenomenal. Moms and dads, you can download it through the Apple Store or on Android. It's available on both platforms. But the ParentQ app, when you go in, you can input each one of your children. You can use their birth dates. You can put a picture. And based on their birth date, every single week, it's going to pull up for you all of the applicable curriculum that we have just gone over with them in our ministry environments. So this is going to make it easier than ever for you to know the Bible passages that they're learning about, the stories they're learning about, the key scriptures, the bottom lines that we're teaching in all of our next-gen environments. It's going to put it right at your fingertips. And it's going to give you throughout the week on different days, different conversation starters. Maybe when you're putting them to bed, maybe when you're giving them a bath at night, maybe when you're just laying down to cuddle or you're driving them to school, a number of different conversation starters that you can use throughout the week to not only influence the relationships that your children have with others, but to most importantly, start the conversation and influence their relationship with God.
So if you'd like to be a better parent, there's an app for that.
Yes, there is.
Right? Technology's cool. It really is. That's a great tool and a great way to use it. Yeah. Hey, there's two quick things I want to tell you as we wrap up. What does it take to have a great relationship with your child? There's two things, acceptance and time. Everybody say that with me right now. Acceptance and time. They want to feel accepted, and they've got to have your time. You're not going to feel connected to somebody you don't feel accepted by. Moms and dads, we've got to be careful in how we discipline, how we tease, in our busyness, that we don't send subtle messages of rejection, that they don't measure up, they're not good enough. They may still say, I love you. They may still do their chores. They may still be glad to see you come home at night. But if there's constant messages of you don't measure up, of rejection, it'll erode the relationship. So there have to be massive doses of acceptance, and they have to have our time, regardless of their age or stage in growing up. They need you. I want to tell you something, parents. Don't buy into the myth of quality time. Don't buy into that myth, and I'll tell you why. Because quality time with a child is totally unpredictable. You can't schedule that. You may schedule events that you believe will produce meaningful moments, but they may not. On the other hand, you may just be in a routine commute to school and something happens out of the blue and something totally unexpected is said and it leads to a meaningful, heartfelt exchange. And guess what? Quality time breaks out right then and there. It's unpredictable. Heard about a dad of two daughters. He realized he hadn't been spending enough time with his girls, and he knew he wanted that and they needed that. And he apologized. And after he apologized, he said, "You know, girls, it's not always important the quantity of time we spend together as it is the quality of time we spend together." Well, these little girls were 6 and 4. They didn't understand what he's talking about. And so here's what he explained. Quantity means how much time. Quality means how good the times we spend together. Which would you rather have? Not missing a beat. The older daughter replied, "Quality time and a whole lot of it." And that's what they need. Quality time and a whole lot of it. At the end of the day, parents, what kids most want is not the stuff we buy them or the experiences we give them. It's you. When you think about it, what really matters most, whether you have a 3,000 square feet of living space or whether the people inside are close to each other. What does it matter if you have a manicured lawn if nobody's ever there to play on it? What does it matter if you've got plush, stained master carpet, but nobody ever wrestles on it? What's it matter if you got a comfortable couch if nobody ever cuddles on it? What does it matter if you got the latest and greatest Dolby surround system and nobody listens to each other? I'm telling you, line kids up. You ask them, would you rather have a dream house or a dream home? And they'll take the dream home hands down every single time. A home with atmosphere of love and fun and listening and wrestling and teasing and singing and laughter. A home where there's clear limits and realistic expectations and reasonable loving boundaries. And parents, there will come a day when it may just occur to you that the greatest contribution God allows us to make in this world may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Would you stand with me right now? I'm going to ask Pastor Ryan to close us in prayer.
Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had this morning to worship you, God, to lift our voices in praise, and then to dig into your word and to pull out some very practical advice that we as parents can take and use as we raise our children. God, the greatest responsibility in the world that you have given us outside of our marriage relationship is how we raise our children. Mm. And God, I just ask that you would press upon us the weight of this role and the responsibility that we have as moms and dads. Mm-hmm. God, we know that anytime we engage in the conversation of parenting and children, that there's going to be some pain because there's baggage that's been brought in that has to do with the way we were raised or maybe the way that we've interacted with our own kids. So God, we just ask that we would create a safe place this morning for that pain to be dealt with and for that baggage to be offloaded.
Yeah.
God, we do ask that whether we have done a good job or whether we've done a poor job of raising our children, God, we would use this morning as an opportunity to start fresh. And God, just help us to know and to remember that just as you redeem our sins, you can also redeem our relationships. And God, that can start and happen today. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for this very needed conversation and how practical it's been. And we just ask that we would take and use these tools as we go forward. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. Relationships That Define Us, Children, with Lead Pastor John Hampton, along with Next Gen Pastor Ryan Tucker. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at JohnnyChristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.